Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here to tell you about my friends, Music Record Shop. Check them out, 4191A Manchester Avenue, in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, new music happy hour, 10% off any purchase. New records from Beach House, Iron and Wine, Wilco, and Coheed and Cambria. Also, Saturday, come check them out for Cassette Store Day. They are the only shop in town celebrating Cassette Store Day, so come out, live music going on. That's the 17th. Check them out online, Facebook, Twitter, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey, this is Kenny Barr. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says. Shane will drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for all you gotta do is download Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out with Kenny Barr. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. How's everybody doing?
I'm good, man. We're hanging out here at Billy G's in Kirkwood. If it's a little background noise, it's lunchtime, but we're having a good time up here. But yeah, man, I've been. We met, I don't know, maybe a year ago or something, somewhere in there.
Yeah, a year, maybe two.
Maybe two. I think it would be. Was it Clockwork?
I think we had. We had been friends on Facebook for a year prior to that.
Yeah.
And then I think I officially met you maybe at Clockwork.
Right.
And had my wife with me and introduced her to you. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun when you go, you know, you meet a Facebook friend. It's always a pleasure.
For sure, yeah. May become friends in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Being pretty active in the scene, I try to add a lot of people, like musicians, and I started seeing a lot of your work, your photography online, and so I was like, so I wanted to add you to keep up with some more of that, it's been really cool to use Facebook as a networking, like it's for, instead of just putting cat and dog videos up and stuff.
It's truly unbelievable how Facebook works, and you know. That you're able to connect with so many people and musicians, and you know, here you do a podcast and you're getting, you know, just about every band in St. Louis, which is just awesome.
I'm trying to work my way around town. I tell everybody, I got stickers, you know, I give them away, and I say trying to take over every guitar case or drum kit that I can in town, so hopefully someday I'll. That's the kind of the fun of it too. Is like it's a never ending. You know, there's always going to be a new wave of young musicians coming up. So there's always going to be somebody new to talk to. And
oh yeah.
But it is kind of fun too. I've been like getting to that point now where I've been circling back around, and I've been like, you know, now that I've been doing it a little over a year, catching up with some people. Just seeing what they're up to now.
Right.
And
what are you at? 125?
I put 121 up this morning.
Okay.
So yeah. I've got a few like recorded that haven't aired yet, so like I think I'm somewhere around there.
That's an awesome feat.
Yeah, man, that's and I do I do feel like it's, you know, like I had my 1 year party in June with Steve over at Steve's Hot Dogs and stuff, and I felt like just that milestone, like doing it for a year, gave me like some sort of like credibility of sorts. You know, people like
right.
know that I'm like sort of, you know, taking it for real. You know, not just it's not just some goofy hobby or whatever.
Absolutely. People know Shane Presley.
Well, it's it's cool that people know me now. I don't know, like, but it's just, but yeah, you know, just hustling, trying to create something cool for St. Louis, and people seem to be responding to it. They, especially the artists that have been on the show, they really appreciate, because there's a lot of people I've been able to talk to that, you know, I've had those bigger guests and stuff, but a lot of the people I like to talk to are people that maybe, you know, I just had a guy's Through the Scope on. They're up and coming metal band, and they're having their release party, and I was their very first interview, so they were, you know, excited for the opportunity to get to plug their album and stuff. So,
well, and it's interesting that St. Louis, you know, we have so many bands and musicians and artists in St. Louis, and I've yet to meet one or anyone that isn't nice.
Yeah.
Every single person is so welcoming and, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, and they're glad to see my face there or your face there.
Right.
You know, in my face, it's with the camera. And,
yeah.
And it's just really, it's really special. And I don't, maybe it's like that in other cities. I don't know.
Yeah.
But St. Louis is, it's just a really cool, it's a cool spot. And I feel like it's right now, it's a mecca for the music industry.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I feel there's some serious talent bubbling under here in town, and if we do it right, you know, with the venues we have here and the talent and the people and like and we you know, we all stick together and work together, you know, we have a good thing going. There's
absolutely.
Hopefully, start getting some recognition for some, you know, be listed among some of the other, you know, Nashville's and Austin's and stuff like that, these other big music towns where hopefully St. Louis will start being on that radar where people realize this is a great place to perform at and a great place to tour out of and stuff. And
absolutely.
If we could just get people to quit stealing other people's shit when they come to town, that's...
God, what has it been like 3 in the last, you know, 6 months or so?
I don't know. It seems like it's almost weekly sometimes. Like,
yeah,
it just,
a band comes into town and, you know, they go to lunch and their van gets broken into and the trailer.
I don't understand that. I don't get what's going on, why we seem to be on the... That's what makes the news, you know. That's the publicity that we get is...
and it's not even just local. I mean, a lot of these go national. It's
So if we could just start getting people to talk about the good stuff instead of you know, the junk that's happening around. But
And I think the new Arch project could really start to bring people to St. Louis too. You know, it's I don't know if you've seen it recently. It's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I haven't been down there in a while. I know they talked about, I remember seeing like the early ideas of like, you know,
the renderings.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be awesome. And just beautiful, and you know, I don't know what needs to be done to clean up our city to make it safer.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. I hope that something happens soon.
Yeah. Every time I go down there, hang out a lot at Oyster Bar and Beale and everything down on Broadway there. And every time I go down there, I'm talking to my dad. I'll be like, "Yeah, I'm going down there," and he's like, "Well, be careful," you know, like all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I realized things happen, you know, I'm not naive to that, but nothing's ever happened to me down there, you know, I've never been in any situations or whatever, it's just, but, you know, that's the thing, it's like, everybody's afraid of, you know, there has that mentality, kind of, that you go into the city, you gotta watch out for all this stuff, and it's like, well, there's crazy people everywhere, you gotta watch out wherever you go, but, but yeah, hopefully, I don't know what it would take to kind of clear that, where people feel more comfortable going downtown.
Maybe a bigger police presence. I don't know if that's the answer, or, you know, maybe not have as many police. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in all generalization, I think that St. Louis is safe. We know it's safe. And I think for the most part, bands feel safe when they come into town.
Right.
You know, unless they're... I don't know. I heard a story at Lou Fest that one or two of the bands was a little concerned with safety.
Oh, yeah?
So, who I was talking to said, don't worry, there's a complete perimeter around the Lou Fest. It's all fenced out. But, you know, and this person and I were talking about it, and it was like, God, here's somebody coming into St. Louis, and they're nervous.
Yeah.
You know. But, obviously, nothing happened.
Sure.
I don't think anything. I think within the next year, I think a lot's going to happen, you know, with the violence and, you know, shootings or whatever. Yeah. I think a lot of it was the what's been dubbed as the Ferguson effect.
Yeah.
And now that that has, you know, pretty much stopped, you know, there's no more nightly or weekly protests. So I feel like things are starting to tame down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We can all hope.
Yeah.
But it's looking more and more positive now.
Yeah, definitely. But I was going to bring that up. I was going to ask you about it because I know you were down there quite a bit doing some photography and things. And you, I guess some of your work got... noticed and things, and
it's actually kind of an interesting story.
Yeah.
I August 10th. So the initial incident with Michael Brown and Darren Wilson happened on August 9th. Well, I had gone out on August 10th at 10 in the morning by myself, and you know, I remember calling my wife and said, I told her that I was going to Ferguson, and she's like, well, why are you going there? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a big story or whatever. And so I shot that day and night, and I tweeted that night, I tweeted two pictures, hashtag Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from the New York Daily News, and they said, we'd like for you to work for us. And I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, okay, awesome. So they said, okay, can you head back out there at, you know, 5 o'clock or whatever? And there I was the next day getting paid to do what I had done the night before for
right.
free.
Yeah.
And so that was just awesome. And so I, you know, I worked, you know, I guess it was 2 weeks straight for the New York Daily News, and it was long. I mean, I'd get home at 4:30 in the morning, just completely drained, you know, with tear gas and like the adrenaline with everything going on, and just not knowing, and you know, what was going to happen if there were, you know, if there was going to be another shooting or anything like that. And then I got a phone call from a friend who, with Reuters, and they wanted me to do some reporting and shooting for Reuters. Thomson Reuters is a newswire. And so there I was working for two companies, you know, reporting and shooting. And so I pretty much worked for both companies from August all the way through November, through the decision night, November 25th or 26th. And That was pretty wild. It was while it was the worst thing that's ever happened to St. Louis, in my opinion, it was also the best thing that's ever happened to me, as far as like my career goes. It was just I was lucky. I couldn't believe how it all happened. So, you know, within this last couple months, I've been asked to attend Reuters training, and it's called hostile environment training. So they'll fly me to either New York or Chicago or San Francisco, and I'll go through a 2 or 3 day all day training, you know, and it's training on kidnappings or bombings or mass shootings, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, any situation that I could be hurt in.
Yeah.
So again, this all came from me going out one day,
right,
in Ferguson,
yeah,
and here I am.
Yeah.
It's really cool, and I'm very happy and thankful.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty wild stuff, man. But I feel like that's the only, you know, it's kind of a, you got to put yourself out there in order to, you know, allow these things to happen. You know, it's like it's,
right.
You know, if you would have stayed home that night, you know, who knows what that, you know,
exactly.
You know, you still could have had, you know, good opportunities and things, but just that moment where you're like being proactive in it, where you're like, I'm, you know, I'm gonna go try to do something, and then all this leads out of that. So it's, I feel like that a lot with my life too, like where, like, you know, the hustle with the show and things, where I get out and I'm doing these things, it's like I'm not really, you know, making any money doing it. I'm having fun doing it, but, you know, just the thing is, like, hopefully this all pays off and some, you know,
it will lead
to the next thing. So yeah,
yep.
But yeah, I go by that a lot. But yeah, that's wild stuff, man. I don't know. Is that, so, what is it like being down there? Is it like, is it as crazy as it seemed like when on the news and everything, or is it worse? Or
it was portrayed a little different in the media.
Yeah.
There are, you know, two sides to the media.
Right.
It was dangerous. For sure. There were times where I was, you know, definitely scared. I mean, I think that, I don't think that you can be immune to the sound of a gunshot.
No, no, yeah.
So, I mean, when that would happen, yes, you know, you'd be scared for your life. But for the most part, I mean, what I saw was, it was pretty cool to see an entire community come together. At the beginning, you know, there were, I mean, thousands of people on West Florissant, and that was pretty cool to see and shoot and be a part of. But, you know, then different people with different agendas started to come into Ferguson, and it just kind of took a turn. And that, whether that's right or wrong, I mean, but it was just, it was pretty drastic. I mean, you could feel the difference, like, between that day that these different people showed up,
yeah,
and the day before. It was just night and day. But I think it's all, Ferguson has, you know, pretty much died down now, and
right.
I think Ferguson is well on its way to healing and being, you know, being a good community that it was prior to all this.
Definitely. Yeah. We mentioned Lufest too. Like, was that how was that this year?
Lufest was good. Yeah, they had a record. I think I read that it was a record turnout. And, you know, our boys from Clockwork had a good stage, and they put on a fantastic show. Even though Jordan's guitar had an issue.
Oh, yeah? Technical difficulties?
A little technical difficulties on his acoustics, so he played the acoustic songs with the electric.
Huh.
But it still sounded fantastic. I think they played a great show, and the crowd seemed, you know, really into them. And,
yeah.
And those guys are awesome. They put in so much hard work. And just all three of those guys, they're... I mean, honestly, some of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Yeah, they're great. I love watching them play. I love watching the growth as they've continued to, you know, build a fan base, and you know, all over the country now. They've been touring a bunch and stuff, and it's
they're becoming road dogs.
Yeah, it's exciting to see and knowing that, you know, where they came from, you know, kind of where they started, and remember watching them play at Pops and stuff on. Down there, you know, when they were like way, you know, way young. So yeah, I mean, they're still young, but that's it's exciting though.
I think they're gonna hit it at some point. You know, maybe one more year, maybe two.
Yeah, most. Yeah, I mean, they got some great songs. That's just a matter of getting people to hear them. That's the trick. But yeah, they. I really wanted to go. I bought tickets. I bought a ticket. When they were there, was like the special went out for the day. It was like $50 ticket or something like this. So I was like, I just jumped on it. Didn't even look at the date, and then I looked at the transaction. I was like, oh, what's that date anyway? Because I just got excited because I wanted to go to Blue Fest, and I looked at the date. It was September 12th and 13th, and the 12th. was my wife was in a wedding for her best friend. So we had to go. We were in that wedding, or I attended that wedding.
Right.
And then on the 13th was our 1 year wedding anniversary. So,
oh, yeah.
So I was like, probably won't go over so well if I go. If I go to Lufest,
she wouldn't like that too.
Yeah.
Much.
Right. So. I ended up selling a ticket to my buddy, so I didn't lose out anything. But
well, Lufest, that's another one of those just up and coming festivals. I mean, it's not even up and coming anymore. It's an awesome festival.
Yeah,
they're getting big names, and that's huge.
Did you stick around all day and watch everybody, or
no? I didn't. I was there for the day, and then Sunday. I didn't go Saturday. Maybe it was the other way. Yeah, Saturday is when Clockwork played, and I did not go Sunday.
Okay.
We had just gotten back from, my wife and I took a vacation for our 10-year wedding anniversary, so we had just gotten back into town. And, we were both tired, and I just didn't feel like, spending the whole weekend at a music festival.
Sure. Yeah, I went last year and had a great time, and it was my first one, and then I was excited about this year's. I do like a lot of the bands that were there, and it's just, I don't know, it's fun. The only problem I have with those festivals is like the fact that, there's three stages set up, and then the main stage later in the evening, but, it's just, there's a lot of times there's two bands on each stage that I want to see
at the same time, right?
Yeah, so like, last year, I think it was like Blackberry Smoke and Cake played at the same time or something like that. And like, I had to run. I watched like half the set here, and then I ran over there and tried to watch half the set. Luckily, it's only on the other side of the field, but it's like, still just like it's a bummer having to pick between two of your favorites and things.
Oh,
like
I know.
That.
I shot Cake last year at Lufest.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Those guys are crazy. They've been at it for so long.
Yeah.
And, still kicking out tunes. And, people were stoked. It's like, oh, my God, Cake.
Yeah.
Good group of guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I think I saw them at a Point Fest also recently, a couple years ago.
Yeah,
And, but, yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're great.
They actually played right before The Urge.
Oh, was that that same year?
They all I think was 2011.
Yeah, they all start to run together for me after a while.
I know.
It's hard to keep all the lineups straight because a lot of times it's a lot of the same bands. Like I've seen
Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah, I've seen Breaking Benjamin.
How many times at Point Fest?
Right. I've seen the got POD and all stuff like that. They all end up coming back on a bunch of those bills. So,
speaking of that Point Fest, that was. That one was special because I think it was Cake and then The Urge and then Bush was headlining. And I'll never forget this. The Urge goes off and I swear to God, half the place left.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad to where I felt bad for Bush.
All right.
I mean, I'm literally watching just people leave in drones. And I'm like, oh my God. But I mean, that goes to show, that it's The Urge.
Yeah.
And like, I think The Urge.
I think there was a very similar effect too for when they opened for 311 at on that 4th of July show.
Yeah, I was out of town for that one, but
very similar vibe too. There was a I was there. I was there to see The Urge. I do like 311, but
sure.
I got after watching them after The Urge was very boring to me.
Frankly, watching any band after The Urge is boring.
Right, yeah, it's hard.
You can't see The Urge and then another band.
It's a very tough act to follow. Let alone the music sounds great, but the energy that they put into a show, either you gotta come in and match it or you're done, because like, for me, I believe it's just like, I remember seeing done the comparison before with other people, but I saw Kenny Wayne Shepherd one night open for Robert Cray at Lumiere Casino.
Okay.
And Robert Cray's a legend, and he's fantastic, but having Kenny Wayne Shepherd open for him, Kenny Kenny comes in and just slays the stage, just, you know, so much energy in the room. And then Robert plays like a totally different, you know, more kind of jazz, like slower kind of vibe to it. And so for him to come out and start doing his stuff, like, it was, I literally was falling asleep in the, and I'm like, me and my dad are like, you ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, man, I can't stay awake.
I bet everybody else felt that way,
so,
too.
Yeah, and it was like, if it was the other way around, I think it would have been a much better show, even though, but, you know, by name sake, you know, Robert was the headliner and stuff, but it's just like,
right.
You got to think about all that, you know, when you're putting on a show, you don't want your opener to outdo you and stuff. And, but, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's all, in, you know, it makes for a great show. But it, as a fan, sometimes it's hard to hang with some of those shows after the opener put on such a great opening performance and stuff like that.
Totally. So the Urge,
yeah,
kind of wild. The Urge is to me is one of those high school memories, and I'm 35 and. You know, there was a bunch of us from, we all went to Webster Groves High School. And in high school, we would go to Mississippi Nights, you know, all Christmas shows, all four nights. And then we'd go to the Blue Note in Columbia and Lawrence, Kansas, and Manhattan, Kansas. We kind of, you know, we were just such big fans. And it was kind of funny. One night, I guess it might have been around 97 or 98 or so.
Yeah.
My good friend Christian and Christian is a friend from high school. We drove to Warrensburg, Missouri, to see the Urge, and POD was opening for the Urge this really, really small club. I don't even remember the name of it. The Upstairs Lounge, maybe. And somehow or another, we made it on the Urge's tour bus. And, you know, we sat there and shot the shit with the guys and took a couple pictures with the Polaroid camera. And there's a picture of Steve Ewing and I, and then another picture of Christian and Steve Ewing. Well, little did Christian and I know, and or Steve or any of the guys know, that around 2004, Steve Ewing would go to produce Christian and his band, and they were called Logic, also from Webster Groves.
Yeah.
So that was just, you know, Christian and I have talked about it, you know, several times, like, God, it's so crazy. You know, there we were, fans of the Urge, and then here's Steve producing my band. Like, just kind of a cool story. And you know, all these years, been going to see the Urge, and now I'm, you know, one of three photographers, you know, for them, and I go to all the shows and, you know, kind of shoot the VIP, you know, pre-show and, you know, the sound check, and it's just, it's cool because a lot like you, like, I've become, you know, friends with these guys too, and it's pretty awesome. In fact, Steve Ewing he met my wife and I at the Cheshire on our wedding night, which was September 3rd, 2005, because at that time he was also producing Logic. And I didn't know Steve really well at that point, but Christian and Johnny, who were both in my wedding, both, you know, members of Logic.
Yeah.
So he sang a song for my wife and I, which was really cool, you know, because I'm like, God, man, this is so weird. Steve Ewing singing at my, you know, my wedding reception or whatever, you know. 10 years after, you know, seeing the Urge as a, you know, high schooler.
Right.
So it's pretty cool. The Urge, those guys are awesome.
Yeah, great guys, great musicians.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild, man. That, like, I was saying how that I've, you know, been able to go from fan to friend when, you know, and working with these guys. I've been, you know, like I said, put on that show with Steve Ewing at in June and stuff. It's just wild to think that, like, I get it, you know, some of the stuff I've been able to get myself into now. It's just
right.
Yeah, but it's cool, man. I'm enjoying it, and I'm, you know, you can see you're enjoying it as well.
Oh yeah, we're both having a good time up here.
Yeah, man. You just went to see Godsmack and Seven Dust, you said?
Yeah, so
yeah, how was that?
My friend Jeannie is on tour with Godsmack, and she...
Shout out to Jeannie.
Yeah, Jeannie, we're going to get you on here.
Yeah. She said she would. We talked a while back, but she said she wanted to, you know, if I ever wanted her on, she would come tell some stories. So,
she'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll call her when I leave here.
Yeah.
So she called me and said, you know, hey, come up to Springfield. So, you know, I drove up to Springfield and got there around 4 o'clock, just in time for sound check. And, you know, hung out the whole day and, you know, met the guys from Seven Dust and a couple of the guys from Godsmack. And I tell you what, I've seen probably 300 rock shows. And that was one of the, I don't want to say one of the best, but definitely up there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, both bands just absolutely rock hard. I mean, it was amazing and just... It was awesome.
Yeah, or was that in that amphitheater thing, or arena that O'Reilly's or whatever?
No, it's a place called Prairie Capital Convention Center.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit smaller of a venue, but yeah, I mean, still, yeah. Like it's like a smaller version of Chaffetz Arena here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Sounded just amazing, and you know, met a bunch of the crew guys, and you know, it kind of opened my eyes to that industry, and that's an industry that I've been kind of toying around with, you know, going on
with,
you know, touring,
yeah,
as a tour photographer. So it was kind of cool to see how it all works, and I tell you what, it's definitely something that not many people realize how much goes into a show with production, and you know, everything from stage to lights to sound to, you know, production cases and wardrobes, and I mean, there's so much, and it's so complex how much goes into a tour.
Yeah.
And you know, they get to a venue and everything comes out of the 4 semi trucks and everything's set up, stage, lights, sound, everything, and then after the show, it immediately gets taken down, back in the semi, drive to the next venue, and do it all over again.
Right.
It's spectacular, truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where you're, when you think about your $20, $40 ticket or whatever it is, you know, like, it's not just going to the bands, it's going to all those crew members. And
that's right, it's going to everything that goes into that show.
Right. Yeah.
So don't ever complain about paying for a ticket.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you know, you're only seeing that band because of everyone behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that, and then you got like, I was talking to Jimmy Griffin about those El Monstero shows and how much production it goes into those. And like,
you just read my mind. I was going to say the same thing.
I think you're saying there was almost like, I don't know, 50 or something, like whatever it is. I was some bunch of, there's tons of people that helped put that show on and make it what it is, and like it's
absolutely. And we'll have to give a shout out to Kevin Gagnepain because that's El Monstero is Kevin Gagnepain.
Yeah.
And I guess you can say Favaz too.
Yeah.
But El Monstero, that's a production that you St. Louisans don't want to miss.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, don't make an excuse. No, I can't go because of XYZ reasons. Just go.
Well, they give you about 8 shows to catch. You
know, exactly.
So, you know, at least make one of them. Yeah.
Right. That's one of the best. I think it's truly one of the best productions you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I mean, Brit Floyd, nah. they have nothing.
Yeah. My buddy tells me Australian Pink Floyd's really good. I haven't remember seen
Yeah,
them,
they're
but,
they're good too.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to give you an example, so I took my brother-in-law to El Monstero this year, and he's seen Australian Pink Floyd, I don't know, 10 times. And during the middle of El Monstero, he said, "Dude," he goes, "these guys are way better than Australian Pink Floyd." He goes, these guys are unbelievable.
Yeah.
He couldn't even believe it, because I'd been telling him for, you know, 4 or 5 years, dude, you got to go to El Monster. You got to go. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, and there's always some excuse or some reason you can't go. So he and my sister went, and they were both just like, this is crazy.
Yeah. That was a lot of what and how I felt, too. Like, they've been doing it for, what, since, like, mid-90s or something
like
that?
Yeah, like 99.
Yeah, or late 90s, I guess. And then, so they've been doing it for a long time, and then I know the show has obviously evolved over the years and become what it is today, but I knew that people were talking about, they had a buzz every Christmas and stuff, they had these shows, and everybody's like, oh, you got to go, and I never did, and then I guess it was 2 years ago, I went to my first one. And
at the pageant or Art Hill?
Yeah, pageant. Yeah, okay. And it just blew my mind. I was like, and I was like right up in the front. Where I always like to get up against the fence there. And,
right.
And I was like, this is incredible. Like, just the music alone, you know, it just sounded great. But the how much effort they go into the stage production with the lights, the smoke, the lasers, the dancers and
stilts. It's crazy.
They have the security guard guy, Nazis. Part of the show, and they're all like out walking around and doing stuff. I mean, it's just it's crazy how many characters are involved. You know, it's almost like. It's theater, you know. It's like, let alone there's a rock show, but there's a theater aspect to it where you're getting a, you know, storyline through these songs and the show and everything else. And it's
right.
It's a lot of fun to see. It's I went last year. I went back for my second, and I took my my mother-in-law last year, and we went on the. Actually, I ended up getting free tickets from. It was one of those pageant vouchers.
Had,
if you check in on Facebook and stuff, you can get a chance to.
Cool.
Yeah, so I ended up scoring 2 free tickets. So I took my mother-in-law Pam, and it was actually happened to be the show when they invited Connor Lau to guest guitar solo for Money, and I thought that was so cool too.
Yeah, Connor's awesome.
Yeah,
he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. But for them to, you know, invite a 15-year-old guitar player to come hang with them and play, and I thought that was really neat that they do that kind of stuff like that, you know.
Totally. Well, and those guys in El Monstero too, similar, you know, to my interaction with the Urge. My friend Julie is the publicist for El Monstero, and I guess it was 3 years ago. She said. She asked me if I wanted to shoot the show, and I said, that would be awesome. So I did, and I think I might have shot 3 or 4, you know, of the 6 or 7 shows that year.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the next year it was, you know, the same thing, except this time I got to, you know, meet everybody, and now I consider all those guys friends.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them.
Yeah.
So it's so cool, you know, to go from, like, fan to friend, yeah. Just like we were talking about earlier. It's just it's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I really enjoy getting to do, you know, being involved in whatever way it is in the St. Louis scene between doing this and just going to shows. I love being there at the pageant and you know, and all the other venues around town. But it's fun, man. It's really cool.
Well, I have a funny story about Greek Fire.
Yeah.
And Johnny.
There you go.
Johnny Venus is the drummer. So last year we were moving out of our house, and Johnny and I were friends on Facebook, but we had never met.
Yeah.
And I threw a post on Facebook, and I needed help moving some furniture out of our house into a pot in the driveway. So I posted, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning. None of my friends responded, but I get a message from Johnny Venus. And he says, dude, what's your address? I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I'm like, wait, are you kidding me? Like the drummer for Greek Fire? Wait, what? I've never met you.
Right.
You know? And, 10 minutes later, he pulls up in the driveway, and he sticks his hand out the window, and he says, hey, I'm Johnny. I said, hey, I'm Kenny. Nice to meet you. I just couldn't believe it. What an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's just cool, and it just goes to show, again, how everyone, all the musicians in St. Louis are just cool.
Yeah.
Like, everyone.
Yeah. That's incredible, man.
Well, and even weirdly, like, our house had, we had recorded the highest mold count ever recorded in St. Louis County. And I told that to Johnny because the year before he had leukemia.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten over treatments, and I'm like, oh my God, like, dude, are you kidding me? But he came.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, that was cool. Yeah. So, you know, I consider Johnny a friend, too.
Yeah, let alone, you know, just any random guy lending a hand, but you get...
exactly.
Johnny, yeah, because it's hard to get anybody to...
That's what I said. I'm so, like, okay, so not one of my friends, you know... even responds, but here's not just a guy that I'm friends with on Facebook who's just a guy, but he's the drummer for Greek Fire.
Yeah, right.
That was really, really cool.
Yeah. They just announced, I guess yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, when we're recording this.
The pageant.
Yeah, they'll be at the pageant on December 7th for the Ho-Ho show. So if you haven't never seen a Greek Fire show, come out and see
you
guys.
That's another one of those shows you don't want to miss.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty... One thing's for sure. El Monstero, The Urge, and Greek Fire.
Yeah.
All of which are local. And all three are shows you do not want to miss.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact.
Yeah. I've been, I remember seeing Greek Fire... they did, like, so after the Story of the Year split up, or, you know, hiatus or this kind of thing, or whatever, for a moment, they played a show at Foo Bar, and it was Greek Fire and the Fuck Off and Dies. And I've been hearing about them, but I didn't really know much about Greek Fire yet.
Because, well, the Fuck Off and Dies is Dan.
Yeah, right.
From Story of the Year,
right,
too.
Yeah. And... So anyway, my cousin Adam's like, hey, let's go to the show, because he knows those guys through school too. Like, he was around their same age, and I think that they might have, like, played in other projects or had friends that, you know, or however it was. But he played music also, so I don't know. Somebody kind of ran around, so he knows, like, Phil and stuff from years ago and things. Anyway, so he's like, let's go to the show, and I'm like, all right, cool. Check it out. But let alone, I mean, like, you know, I said Greek Fire, and I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't, you know,
right.
I didn't know who it was at the time, but, like, and then I realized that Phil was also in Story of the Year, and then Dan was in Story of the Year, and all this stuff, so it all sort of came together, but this was, like, you know, the very beginning of Greek Fire, and
sure.
And to watch him blossom as into this band that they've, you know, it's just, like, they are one of the most energetic and fun bands to watch live, like, just especially the fact that Phil is hardly on the stage, like, you know, he's
right,
he finds everywhere else to go.
Yeah, well, he's surfing a couch or a carpet or a board,
yeah,
something out in the stands,
yeah,
you know, just melting people's faces off. It's just
at the pageant, he walks the balcony and he's, like, up there and the bar in the front there, and then at Point Fest, I saw him. He's sitting on top of the fence in the back, and then he crowd surfed, like, a couple hundred feet out and stuff. And, like, I don't know, it's just anywhere you go at a Greek Fire, you're gonna get a front row seat because Phil's coming to see you. So, or Moon, sorry, if you one way or another, Phil or Moon, whatever you want to call him.
Well, and those of you that don't know Greek Fire, Phil or Moon. If you listen to 105.7 The Point, he does the morning show with Rizzuto and Patrico and all those guys. And then, so it's basically Moon and then two other people from Story of the Year.
Yeah.
And then Johnny. They're awesome.
Mark, their bass player, right?
Yeah, Mark Joseph.
Yeah, and then Ryan's on guitar. He's from Story.
Yeah, Ryan Phillip. Yeah, Mark's not from Story.
I
meant Ryan.
Yeah, But yeah, I don't know if I don't know what other stuff Mark's done, but he's a lot of fun on bass too. I saw those guys also do a, they did like an acoustic night one down at Hard Rock in St. Louis there at Union Station, and it was them and 30-06 who are no longer together, which they were a great hard heavy band that I liked, and but so
I remember them.
I took a picture. I believe it's Kenny's picture, Kenny Williamson, and it was the one where Phil's like on that in that white suit on the red couch at Point Fest, and he's surfing on the crowd. Pretty sure it was.
Yeah, that's Kenny. Yeah.
And I bought a copy of it at CD Warehouse in Tucson Ferry at, from Walter over there, and you can see he had some of the prints in there for sale. And I bought a copy, and then I took it to the show when I saw Greek Fire at Hard Rock, and I'm hanging out, and I was trying to get Moon to sign it for me, and you know, they kind of broke down, and he was actually doing a radio across the parking lot at the Point that night, so he had to, like, you know, hurry up and get out of there. And I guess that's his wife was there,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, she like caught him, and she's like, hey, you know, this guy's been, you know, waiting here for you, patient and stuff. And so I was cool like that she did that, but you know, I would have called him next time. It's not like I wasn't being you know, it wouldn't have hurt my feelings, but it was cool that like she noticed, and she sent it back, and he goes, oh hey man, sorry, I didn't see, you know, and he but he signed my picture, and he wrote Flying High on it, and then you know, and stuff. So I thought that was cool, like,
oh, to that's super
get that,
cool,
get that picture autographed, and I got it framed on the wall and stuff, and
awesome.
But yeah, so it's been fun to follow those guys for all these years too, and along with the other stuff. But
another guy you should get on the show here. Give a shout out to Walter Wright.
Yeah.
Do you know Walter?
I don't believe so.
All right. Walter works for B&D Security, but he's a staple.
Wow.
Probably the longest staple in St. Louis.
I'm sure I recognize him.
He goes on the road with the Urge and Nelly.
Yeah.
Works every Urge show, every El Monstero show. He's one of those guys. I'm sure he's got so many just crazy stories.
I reached out to haven't made it happen yet, but I reached out to Scott Long that does security there too. And
yeah, Scott's a great guy.
We became Facebook friends, and I was like, I said, hey man, you know, would you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, I could. You know, he's like, it would only be. He was telling me like I would only tell because I asked if we would tell some stories, and because I'm sure, you know, as a security guard, he's seen it all. And and he's like, yeah, but it would only be, you know, positive stories and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I mean, I'm all about positivity too. I don't need you, you know, come and talk trash about somebody or whatever. Right. But yeah,
so yeah, Scott's he's a good guy.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that happens too. But yeah, that's where I'm, you know, like yourself, like I'm trying to. I love the music. I love, you know, and I've had a bunch of comedians as well. I love the comedy, and but I'm trying to get to talking to some of those people that are maybe behind the scenes, the sort of things, or you know, the security guard, the photographers, the sound guy, the, you know, the the club owners or whatever, different, you know, various people that make all of it possible as well, and just to hear some of their stories and things. And,
yeah, because it's true. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it.
I mean
the club and the security and the photographers and videographers and sound guys, light guys.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot, and there's a lot of those. You know, I mean, I'll call them legends around St. Louis that, you know, that are staples that have been doing, you know, putting shows on for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, it's cool, man. I've been, it's fun to see that people are sticking together and, like, you know, and they enjoy what they do and creating some really cool stuff in town. So.
For sure.
So what's one of your, what's your, like, your proudest achievement so far with photography? What do you consider up there at the top?
That's a tough one.
Do you have any particular picture you're really proud of, or?
Yeah, I do. One of my favorite images that I've ever taken is of Bob Weir, one of the founding members of the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Bob Weir and Rat Dog came to the pageant 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and I have one image from that show that I actually have had printed 30 by 35 because it's just my favorite image.
Yeah.
And then this year, I got a really sweet image from El Monstero out at the Shed, the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, to where Kevin texted me and said, dude, wow, like that image of us, you know, during Wish You Were Here is just perfect.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to have that one printed too. That's another one of my favorite images. And then I guess one other image that I also have printed on foam board is, it's a shot out of Ferguson, and it looks like, if I didn't tell you where it was, you would say, oh my God, when were you in Baghdad?
Yeah.
It's two of the MRAPs, you know, with the tear gas and like nine or ten SWAT team officers wearing camouflage with their M16s or whatever guns.
Yeah.
It's a crazy image because it was just a point in time that will probably never happen in St. Louis again, and I didn't have to go to the Middle East to capture that image. Ferguson was history, and I'm happy to have been a part of it.
Yeah, as much as an awful thing as it was, like you said, at least it was a great opportunity for your career and stuff. And
I do have one really cool shot from the Urge at Ballpark Village earlier this summer that Bill messaged me and said, you know, hey, can I have, you know, these four images. So now the landing image for the urge.net is my image.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that today because I just put up Carl's episode and I linked.
Okay.
So that's the it was like the fisheye kind of thing?
Yeah, that's
really a cool shot.
Thank you. So that's another one. I love that image too. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was like Steve right in the middle, and then you got like Bill over to his left, or his right.
His right.
Yeah, and then Carl on bass and stuff. That's a neat shot. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Do you have a website or where people can go take a look at more of your work?
I do. It is www.kfbphotography.com.
All right. And they can go check out some more of Kenny's work, and you can see him at the Urge shows coming up in November, and seeing him live in action, snapping pictures.
If you do see me, make sure you come up to me and say what's up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's gonna be a party, man. I'm excited. They said they're gonna turn the pageant into Mississippi Nights for the night, so it's
which is just gonna be so cool, especially for us like old school Urge fans.
Yeah.
You know, guys that, you know, people that have been seeing the Urge, you know, in the mid '90s.
Yeah.
At Mississippi Nights are just going to be blown away. It's going to be so cool.
And they say they're doing two sets, they said, and they're doing, the first set is receiving the Gift of Flavor, which is the 20th anniversary of it. So
that's right.
So yeah, it's been a long time.
Which is one incredible album.
Yeah, great record. I was there that night. They did the re-recording and stuff. It was a really cool moment to be a part of all.
Wasn't
that
cool?
Yeah.
And Webster Groves of all places too.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's great to. I'm excited to hear what it sounds like.
I know. I can't wait either.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun, man. I talked to Carl quite a bit about that night, and it was just it was really something special. I was glad to be a part of the history of it, you know.
It was special. I mean, that was special, and the folks that were there were I mean, really, truthfully, diehard Urge fans.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so cool, too, is how many people would you guess maybe were there? Maybe 50?
Yeah, I think it was like about 50.
50 people in this in the most intimate setting. Yeah. I mean, in the Ozark Theater, like a small, old theater from, you know, there was a movie theater back in the 70s. I think my mom and dad have seen movies in that theater when they were in high school at Webster Groves. So, you know, for them to transport it into a recording studio was really special.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty wild. Like, I mean, there was it was totally different than anything I thought it was going to be. Like, I kind of imagined a more of a proper Urge show, you know, with just like with recording it, but you know, when it was a lot different to see the guys stand still next to their microphone and to playing instead of running around jumping like they're always are.
Well, yeah, Bill spends half the show, you know, 4 feet in the air.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and to see Bill standing that was funny.
Yeah.
Well, and Steve and Matt too. I mean, and Jerry. Everyone's always running around.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's and it's infectious, man. It's that energy when they. You know, you can't help but to jump around with them and stuff.
No.
So.
And you can't help but to sing along to every single song too.
Yeah, that's another. We're gonna have some credits on the album for singing "Drunk Asshole" and "Dirty Rat." So that was gonna be exciting to see my name in print on a on an Urge record.
On an Urge record, I know that'll be really cool.
Yeah. So yeah. All right, Kenny, man. This has been a whole lot of fun. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang.
And, well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So check out KFBphotography.com.
Yeah. Just like KFC, but with a B.
I'm sure they'll appreciate the plug, too. Just like KFC.
Yeah, right.
His pictures are finger-looking good. That's All right, Kenny.
All right.
That's a wrap. Thank you.
Cool.